Thank you for the introduction. Today I'm going to be talking about chlorosetamide, specifically dual magnum and warrant, when used in combination with staple LX. I hate to beat a dead horse, but glyphosate and LS-resistant Palmer amaranth is widespread throughout the cotton belt, and control of this troublesome weed now requires what is called overlapping residual herbicides. And this just means using a residual pre-plant, pre-emergence, post over the top, as well as post-directed. Now this is just a snapshot from our North Carolina Ag Chem Manual showing our residual options, and hopefully this is kind of an overview of the cotton belt. And I just want you to notice that we have quite a few options pre-plant, quite a few pre, and then even numerous compounds directed. However, we're limited in this post-over-the-top category. And we're further limited in this post-over-the-top category due to some cotton injury. For example, Cotteran is usually saved for a salvage situation. So we're further limited by injury, and then also ALS-resistant staple LX doesn't really get much attention. So really what we're left with are the chlorosetamides, dual magnum and warrant. And these herbicides are inhibitors of very long-chain fatty acid synthesis, or group 15 herbicides. And they've really gained in popularity since the onset of glyphosate resistance. For example, in Georgia, they've increased from 15 to 55% of the acres since glyphosate resistance has developed. And it's really because they provide effective pre-emergence control of Palmer with little to some injury noted. However, there have been some increasing complaints with injury from the chlorosetamide herbicides. And when I'm talking about chlorosetamide injury, I'm talking about necrosis or kind of a leathery appearance of some of these leaves. And there's even some labeling that kind of warns against mixing some of the chlorosetamide herbicides in combination with other herbicides such as staple. This was right off the staple label, and it basically says don't mix staple with S-metolachlor herbicides such as dual magnum. However, there's limited research on this topic, and we wanted to further investigate that in our study. So this brings us to the objective of our experiments, which was to evaluate cotton tolerance to chlorosetamide tank mixes with staple. And we also wanted to look at Palmer amaranth control with these tank mixes in both Roundup and Liberty-based systems. Our experiment was set up in a randomized complete block design with four replications, and all herbicides were applied using a CO2 pressurized backpack. And just to give you an estimate of glyphosate resistance at these each locations, I would guess about 10 to 15 at Clayton, 30 to 35 at Mount Olive, and then 75% at Micro. All other portions of the population being glyphosate susceptible. In our Liberty-based trials, we had six trials in over 2 years. In 2011, we had two locations at Clayton. These were separate field sites and also different varieties. And then we had one location at Mount Olive in that same year. And then 2012, we had one location each at Clayton, Mount Olive, and Micro. For our Roundup-based system, similar setup. Two locations at Clayton in 2011, different varieties, different field site, and one location at Mount Olive. And then in 2012, we had one location at Clayton and one at Mount Olive. Our post-residual herbicide treatments included no chlorosetamide and no staple. This would have been our Roundup only or our Liberty only treatment. And we also applied staple at 1.7 ounces, which was our low rate alone, staple at 2.7 ounces alone, which would have been our high rate. Then we applied warrant at 3 pints alone, warrant plus our low rate of staple, warrant plus our high rate of staple, dual magnum at 1 pint per acre alone, and then dual magnum plus our low and our high rate of staple. All post-residual herbicide treatments were applied post one or to two leaf cotton, and this was also in combination with Roundup and Liberty. And then we had additional post-treatments at 8 and 12 leaf cotton. And you'll see our rates of our Liberty and Roundup at the bottom of the screen, which would have been pretty standard, 29 and 32. Data collected included cotton necrosis, chlorosis, and growth reduction. However, when we're talking about chlorosetamide injury here, so we're really going to focus on necrosis. And we also estimated Palmer amaranth control on a visual scale. And plots were machine harvested and weighed to determine cotton lint yield. And all data were subjected to analysis of variance and treatment means separated and using Fisher's protected LSD where appropriate. Jumping into results, before I do that, I do want to set this graph up in subsequent graphs. Here we have percent necrosis along the vertical axis, And then we have our herbicide treatments along the bottom of the screen. Staple with the L below it, that's our low rate. Staple with the H below it, that's our high rate. Now this is necrosis 7 days after post one in our Liberty-based system. We did use phytogen varieties for the most part, so we did see some injury with Liberty alone, about 5%. Did get a little bump in necrosis when we added staple to that Liberty. However, what I really want you to focus on is our chloroacetamides, warrant and dual magnum. This is when they were applied alone. Warrant alone caused about 17% necrosis, and we did not receive a bump in necrosis when we added staple to warrant. However, when we added had dual alone, which was slightly more injurious than warrant, we saw about a 6 to 7% increase in necrosis. And we did see a bump in necrosis when we added staple to that tank mix, but it was very, very minimal. And here's just some pictures that show what I saw in the field. This would have been taken about 7 to 10 days after that first post application. I remind you that we had phytogen cotton. I would suspect a grower would probably be okay if he saw this, knowing how Liberty can be with phytogen cotton. Pretty typical necrosis with Liberty alone. When we look at Liberty plus staple, we start to see a little corrosis coming to the table. But overall, the necrosis looks very similar. Now, with Liberty plus dual magnum, I really want to point out these lower level leaves that are almost completely burnt off. This would probably be one of our worst case scenarios. And you can just see that these kind of necrotic lesions kind of run together. Now, when we compare that to dual magnum to warrant, we don't see as much as those lesions running together. We still see quite a bit of necrosis, more than we would have had with Liberty alone. And then our three-way tank mix, again, I want to direct your attention to these lower level leaves. They're almost completely gone, a little bit of chlorosis. But overall, this looks very similar to Liberty plus dual. Jumping into our Roundup-based system, this is percent necrosis on the vertical axis again. This is necrosis 7 days after post one in our Roundup-based system. Roundup on phytogen cotton, not an issue. Overall, less injury in these five trials. Warrant, again, a little bit less injurious than dual alone, about 9% necrosis. We did not see an increase in necrosis when we added staple to warrant. Dual magnum, on the other hand, about 13-14% necrosis. And we did see an increase in necrosis when we added that high rate, but it was very minimal, about 3-4%. Now, if you'd have asked me after the first year conducting this trial which herbicide I thought was more caused the most injury, warrant or dual, I'd have probably told you dual was a little bit hotter. But after being around these herbicides for a couple years, I really can't come to that conclusion. These are some separate trials conducted by Dr. York from 2010 to 2012, and this is 21 trials that look at warrant and dual magnum side by side. And basically what he found is, on average, these two herbicides cause about the same level of injury. Now, one can look worse one day, one can look worse the next day, but on average, they look about the same. And the same thing can be said for Palmer amaranth control. Again, this is 18 trials from 2010 to 2012. And on average, we got the same level of Palmer control with these two herbicides, an increase of about 10 to 15% over a Roundup or Liberty only. Jumping back into my study, this is Palmer amaranth control at post 3. Now, this would have been when a typical lay-by application would have gone on, so this gives us a snapshot of what late-season Palmer control looks like. And this is in our Liberty-based system. We have percent control along the vertical axis and our herbicide treatments along the bottom of the screen. Got about 83% control with Liberty alone. We did get a slight increase in Palmer control with that staple. Even bigger bump when we added our chloroacetamides. And then with our three-way tank mix, we really got the greatest control. But it really looks like the utility of the warrant and dual plays a bigger part in our Liberty system. Our Roundup system looks a little bit different. Got about 72% control with Roundup alone, as to be expected with glyphosate resistance in the state. However, we did not get a benefit from having warrant and dual alone late season. Now, that's a little deceiving. We did get a benefit in pre-emergence control with these herbicides. However, late season, because we don't have any post-activity with these two herbicides and we're applying to Roundup resistant weeds, we did have some escapes. So those large pigweed were able to flourish in those plots. In fact, if I could get them to live past Thanksgiving, I'd sell them as Christmas trees. So they were large. So we got few big weeds here, many small weeds here, and late in the season, it doesn't look like there's a big difference. Now, when we added staple to that tank mix, we got about a 15 to 16% increase in control. And then our three-way tank mix looks very similar to our staple alone, meaning staple looks like our critical post residual in this system. Staple has both residual and post-emergence control. Therefore, it looks like that post-activity from staple is really helping that roundup in this particular system. As far as cotton lint is concerned, trends followed very closely to late-season Palmer control. We got about 900 pounds with Roundup alone. No benefit from Wart and Dual. Again, few large pigweed, many smaller pigweed. But when we did have staple in that tank mix, we got a nice bump in yield. So in conclusion, necrosis was greater in our Liberty-based system because we were using foraging cotton, as to be expected. However, staple did not increase necrosis caused by Wart, where it did cause increased necrosis caused by Dual Magnum. And really what I think is going on in the field is we know that staple brings some stunting to the table. And when you couple that with that necrosis by the chloracetamides, it makes it look worse. It's not actually that it's heating up that chloracetamide. It's just holding that cotton back a little bit. And when we come in there 7 to 10 days later, it looks worse. It's kind of like dumping a gallon of paint in a pie plate versus dumping a gallon of paint on this table. It makes a bigger mess on that pie plate versus that table. So it just looks worse. It's not really heating that chloracetamide up. I didn't have time to talk about chlorosis and growth reduction, but it did seem to be additive with the chloracetamide and the staple bringing the stunting and the chlorosis. As far as Palmer amaranth control is concerned, all residuals helped in our Liberty-based system. However, it looks like the Wart and Dual played a bigger part in our Liberty-based system. And I didn't talk about yield in our Liberty-based system, but we got about 1,100 to 1,200 pounds, and there was no differences in yield. Now, on the other hand, in our Roundup-based system, Wart and Dual did not provide no benefit in late-season Palmer control, whereas staple increased control about 15 to 16%. And again, I think this is because we have residual control as well as post-emergence control with our staple. We know we got a lot of glyphosate resistance in the state. We know we got a lot of ALS resistance in the state. But when we look at a single population in North Carolina, we don't think we have as much resistance to both Roundup and glyphosate in biotypes as we thought before. And then yield trends follow that of late-season Palmer amaranth control very closely in our Roundup-based system. Looking to the future, it would be interesting to look at some the varietal responses to these chloracetamides to see if there is some differences in the varieties, as also try to pinpoint some of the environmental conditions that really cause that necrosis by these herbicides. And then look at some chloracetamide tank mixes with some insecticides would be interesting as well. And with that said, I'll be glad to take any questions at this time.
Did you notice any differences in bloom date?
The question was, do we notice any difference in bloom date versus injury? I really can't tell you. Just from walking the plots, I would say there's not much. There wouldn't have been much difference in bloom date. You might would see it if we had like some cool nights with that staple. That might have would affect bloom date. That would be the only instance where I would have been a little bit worried about it. Any other questions?
Thank our speaker.